Hey, it's Jeff Zito and the Celebrity Jobber Podcast. Check out our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/@Celebrity Jobber. Please subscribe, give a 5-star rating, leave a review. All our past episodes are available on celebrityjobber.com. You know, I'm a big fan of the Shark Tank and real estate mogul Barbara Corcoran from my neck of the woods in New Jersey. Shouldn't have problems pronouncing my last name. It's Zito. Z-I-T-O.
I was asking. I thought it was unusual you chose that name to go by, but it's cool.
It's my last name.
Zidi. Z-I-D-I-Z-I.
You know, I think a Zito with an O is a singular Zidi, if you want to get down to it. That's what they...
Right.
That's what they tell me.
You expect me to believe that bullshit?
Yeah. well, Barbara, I'm also from New Jersey, so I pronounce all the Italian cold cuts wrong, like the rest, you know, prosciutto and supasad. You probably have been around that kind of talk your whole life, right?
Yeah. The minute I'm with a family member, I have 9 siblings. We're right back there with all the accents. The best one is my brother John, who always says, "Gee." And that means, did you eat?
So where did it all start for Barbara Corcoran? Was she destined to be a real estate mogul? What was her big break? Because I could tell you it came way before being on the Shark Tank. How about her first job? Some of the steps she took along the way. It's all coming up on this episode of Celebrity Jobber.
The Celebrity Jobber Podcast with Jeff Zito. If you like what you hear, please subscribe, give a 5-star rating, and leave a review. Check out all our past episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you pod. What if these celebrities weren't famous? What would they have become? What was their first job? We're about to find out.
So, 9 brothers and sisters. Wow, that had to be tough. That, I mean, especially for some of the guys eating back in the day, right?
No, it was tough for my mom who made the food, not for the guys who ate it. They
right.
ate anything, my brothers.
They
are different.
But what about you, Barbara? I mean, you did you get anything? Did you get the leftover? I mean, what happened?
Well, you know what? Whoever grabs first really wins.
That's
my
right.
My mother had a terrible habit of saying, offer to your sister first if you were the first grabber. So you got punished. So we all sat there quietly and shared the food nicely.
Oh, wow.
The way my mother made it happen.
Wow. You guys were very respectful. So with 10 of you in the house in New Jersey and an Irish Catholic family, tell me a little bit about growing up in Bergen County. Did you have a good childhood?
I had the best childhood in one way, and then I had a blessing of a negative piece of it that has done me very well. The beautiful thing about being a child, if you have a happy childhood, is basically do you have parents who love you?
Right.
I had 2 parents who loved me top to bottom and loved all of us, even though I was their favorite. I could feel it. I never told my other siblings that. I'm sure it's true. But we had a crowded household. We had 2 bedrooms, 1 bath, and we had 10 kids. My mother and father produced all the kids from the living room couch.
Wow.
As the Pope asked them to. One every year and a half. It was like clockwork. My poor dad, I think he would have liked more action than that, frankly, in hindsight. But we're not going there.
So
what happened to me as a kid is I was terrible in school. And fortunately, that taught me to deal with failure very early. And boy, when you start a business, if there's one thing you want to be good at, is getting back up when you've had failures. Because that's all business is. A long obstacle course.
So being not a good student, what was when you did finally get out of high school and then you went to college? What were you studying in college? What did you think you wanted to be?
I didn't know what I wanted to be, but I knew one thing for sure: I was good at working. I was a hard worker. I usually had 2 jobs while I was going to class, you know, and I wasn't the least bit interested because I didn't know what they were talking about and I didn't want to do the work. I begged for D's just to get through college, and they gave them to me. Nice people, nice teachers. But I'll tell you, once I was out of school, after school, working my waitressing jobs, my sales clerk jobs, I was really good with my mouth. So by the time I started my business, I knew I could talk. I could talk people into stuff. And I was sincere, so I was never talking people into things they didn't want. And I went into sales, and that was really the right occupation for me when I started my real estate business. Sales, sales, sales. That's what it was all about.
Do you remember your very first job, Barbara?
Sure, I do. I was 11. I was a playground supervisor in my hometown of Edgewater, New Jersey. And I had four kids. And I even knew then that I was good at getting attention. Well, you have to be when you have a family of 10 kids. You go with your mother to get attention. But what I did was I only had a few kids coming to the camp every day. And so I declared it Barbara's breakfast. And none of them had breakfast in the morning. So I brought them breakfast. And then I pitched the story to a reporter at the Bergen Record that's Breakfast with Barbara. And they came and sent a photo crew down and wrote a story on me. And I had 36 kids the next day come to
wow.
my camp. So I grew it. It was shocking. I was like, wow, why is it so easy? It's called attention. It's called press coverage. And I never forgot that lesson. I used it to build my real estate business without a doubt.
What do you think your big break was, you know, in your real estate business? Like, was there a particular thing that happened while you were in real estate that, like, really got you going and you were like, wow, this could be the big thing that really kind of snowballs into something really big?
I had literally that exact thing happen. I was in business 3 months, and I would put one ad in the New York Times once a week because that's what I could afford. And some girl called in with it. She sounded young on the phone. And something in my bones said to me, this is not a customer. You know, I got a lot of calls on the ad. But I paused and I thought, something's fishy here. She's not a customer. And I trusted my gut. And I poured on my charm. I said, you know what? You shouldn't be buying anything. I should give you a tour of New York. You should look at all the neighborhoods before you decide anything. And this girl was wowed. And she made an appointment with me the next day. And as it turned out, she was not a customer. She represented Merrill Lynch Relocation. And she was shopping for a good broker in New York to give all of her business to. And what do you think happened at the end of the day? She confessed, and I acted like I was surprised, although I wasn't really. And she started giving me every customer that Merrill Lynch had. And I got maybe three customers a week, out-of-towners who totally relied on me. The Merrill Lynch people endorsed me, and they trusted me without even meeting me. And that became my breadline. I had more deals right away than anyone else because of a lucky break. It really was just potluck. Potluck. She was calling a lot of people that day. But I did trust my instinct, thank God. But I had a working background. So I kind of, like, was savvy in a way. You know, even though I was 23, I was a savvy 43 in my head.
Right. Do you think it was all of your brothers and sisters that gave you the gift of gab, that gave you the skill to be able to talk to people and sell people?
I think the kids, having so many kids, gave me my competitiveness.
Okay.
You had to compete in a large family for everything, especially for attention. Anything you wanted, you had to just get the space to ask, to do, you know? And also with 10 kids, you have more freedom to be yourself. You don't have doting parents who have had two kids and want them to be just a chip off the old block and go into finance and be like your dad or your mom. My mother and father were so busy getting food on the table and working the jobs to support us. They had no aspirations for us. They just said, be nice, be nice. That's all they ever said. And so I went into the world without a monkey on my back.
Right.
Do you know how many kids I meet with pressure on themselves?
Yeah.
They don't even know what they're good at. And they're going out with feeling the pressure. You know, no, I didn't have any of that.
So
not a bit of it, but I learned to be competitive.
What about mom and dad? You were saying that they were just working hard to put food on the table. What kind of business was your mother and father into?
Well, my dad was a printing press foreman in a printing company in the day, and he wore a suit to work, so he had a good job. And at night, he washed trucks for the, what's the company with the brown trucks?
It's very UPS.
And he washed those. Yeah, they had just opened, and he washed trucks every night. But he washed them so fast, he was able to catch 4 hours sleep on an eight-hour shift. You know, he got all the trucks done and would just sleep. One day, he took me to wash trucks with him. I didn't have to wash the trucks, but he used to bring his kids in on the night shift with him. I don't think it was allowed, but it was such a thrill to get that invitation from my dad, you know? You know, he worked very, very hard. He was always fired from his day job all the time, probably twice a year, but he must have interviewed well because within a few weeks, he always was employed again doing the same thing at printing press foreman. I think there must have been a shortage.
Wow. Yeah, it's 20 jobs by the time you were 23. Is that true? Is that really 20 jobs?
I want credit for every one. I made a list once. It's exactly 22.
Wow. And can you rattle off a few of them?
Oh, yeah. I could probably rattle off all of them if you give me a minute. Let's see. Do I have to do it in order?
No, you can skip around.
Yeah. Well, I was the supervisor at the breakfast, as I put it,
right.
Playground. I was hold on, I can't even think of the word. What? Oh, a lifeguard at a kiddie pool for 2 summers. I was a waitress in probably 10 different diners and places. Fortunately, I met my boyfriend at one of them, and he gave me $1,000 to start the business, and I didn't work those jobs anymore. I sold tents on the telephone. I was Barbie Buttons, placing secretaries in offices here in New York. You had to use a code name Y. To this day, I can't imagine, but I was calling as Barbie Buttons. I was a clerk at Schweitzer's department stores measuring men, what size pants they wore, what the inseam was. That was interesting. I was in the shop, you know? Yeah, I sold door-to-door granny gowns, anything having to do with sales, and I'm sure I'm missing a lot of stuff in there. I got fired from 3 of my jobs. They all weren't successful, but most of them were. And I really worked hard, and people always like that about me. And usually, I worked hard with my mouth. If you're working hard with your mouth, you can make an atmosphere where people like you. If they like you, they want to buy from you. I don't care what you're selling. If people like you, it's such a leg up, and people always liked me because I was sincere in my intent, and I still am today. I think my sincerity got me to where I am. That combined with hard work.
And Barbara, that boyfriend that you talked to that loaned you $1,000, is that the same one that you talk about on the Shark Tank who ended up wanting to marry you but dumped you for his secretary?
He never wanted to marry me. I felt used. He wanted to marry my secretary and left me on 1 minute's notice. Boy, was that tough. But I have to thank him because I didn't want to work with them and I couldn't fire him because he owned 51% of the business, as he readily reminded me. And you want to know something? It's good because it got me to start my own business. I had it after a year and I quit and I cut the business in half and I started my own business. Thank God. But I didn't know then. I was heartbroken. I thought, how will I ever make it? How will I do without him? And then fortunately, he told me on the way out the door on that Friday morning, I divided the business. He said, you know, you'll never succeed without me, because he was really pissed. I don't blame him. I would have been pissed too in hindsight. But he was wrong, and he gave me an insurance policy to know that I would succeed. When he insulted me, he gave me power for the next 10 years. I swear to God, I think if he had said to me, you know, you're amazing, you're going to do fine, I'm not sure I would have stayed in business. I was staying in business to be vindictive most of the time.
Now, Barbara, I watch almost every episode of Shark Tank, so I know all the different business deals that you've acquired, you know, over the past 10 or so years with those people that come on the show. But can you tell me, is there any other business endeavor that you are doing these days that, is not a part of Shark Tank?
Well, I can't invest in businesses outside of Shark Tank per my contract. But what I've started and I can't easily do is give solid advice. So I give no bullshit, unfiltered advice on my new platform, which is called Barbara in Your Pocket, because I shrunk myself up in the washing machine, made myself little, so I could be little enough to jump into people's pockets. You falling for that?
I'm falling for it. So look, I want to make a zillion dollars. I think I know how to talk to people. So what should I do?
Well, that's a broad question. It depends on where you are. I question you whether you really believe in yourself. You know what I have found? Even though I talk with entrepreneurs all day long and give them advice, I would say that only a third of them really believe in themselves. Most of them are insecure. So what I do is I turn their insecurity into a weapon. I make sure I tap into their brain to make sure they could come ahead and pull themselves ahead and really believe in themselves. You'd be surprised how people don't feel entitled to be rich. They don't feel entitled to have a wild success with their life. It's not just fear. It's because somewhere in their mechanism there, what they've been raised with or what they're observed, they just don't believe they have an entitlement to that. I convince them they do. Because I think everybody should be rich, create jobs, and have a world as they want it, and hire who you want and get rid of your boss. And I'm a rebel in a way. But these people who get started and don't really believe, I make them a believer. That's the first step. So I would question you whether you believed in your concept, whether you believe you have a right to be there. That would be the beginning. And then I get them to drop the goddamn business plans. Let me tell you, you learn that at the Harvard MBAs programs and all that fancy shit. It doesn't really work. So once you get out there, they don't work. You find out that you can't make a sale. What good is a business plan? So you have to get out and you have to hustle. I get people into the street as fast as I can. get them really in business, not fake business, not like playing business because I have a business plan, but I get them in the street succeeding because I overcome the obstacles with them. I've heard it all before. I feel like an old babe. You can't teach me a new trick. I've heard about cash flow. Yeah, I've heard about this. I've heard about that. I've heard about going into a slump. I know all this stuff. And so I can give them really good advice on how to turn themselves around.
I'm gonna sign up for this. So it's BarbaraInYourPocket.com, and we'll see if this works, Barbara. Because
you better ask me a lot of questions. I'm gonna look for you. You better ask me a lot of questions.
Look,
raise your hand all the time.
I'm an Italian guy from New Jersey with the last name of Zito. I don't think you'll ever forget me.
I will never forget you with that stupid name.
Barbara, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
My pleasure, Zito. Pleasure hanging out with you.
Kind of a famous story that Barbara tells a lot on Shark Tank, the $1,000 loan that she got from her boyfriend, and then he ended up leaving Barbara for his secretary. Kind of a story that you'll hear quite a bit on Shark Tank, but one that's kind of defined her life, you know. The gift of gab. She's got it. She knows how to talk to people. Who knows? It could have come from her having 9 brothers and sisters. She was very competitive because of those brothers and sisters, always had to compete for attention and food. And she said it was the attention that pretty much got her to be able to talk to people. She liked the attention. 1 of 10. That's a lot of competition. So yeah, definitely Barbara Corcoran, the gift of gab. Successful real estate business. Back in 2001, Barbara sold the business to NRT for $66 million. Her big break was putting that ad out in the newspaper, blindly getting that woman from Merrill Lynch, and she kind of showed her around town. Didn't know that this woman was going to bring all of her clients to Barbara. But she liked her so much, that's what ended up happening, and that was her big break. And her first job, breakfast with Barbara, 11 years old at a day camp. And then she basically rattled off the 22 jobs that she held by the time she was 23 years old, only getting fired from a couple. And now with her new app, wants to help other entrepreneurs make a lot of money. Barbara in your pocket. She told me I didn't have a lot of confidence and I didn't believe in myself, so maybe it won't work for me, but possibly could work for you. Great story. I love hearing from all the sharks. Past guests, Kevin O'Leary, Mr. Wonderful, and Kevin Harrington. If you want to check out those episodes, celebrityjobber.com. Follow me on Instagram, Celebrity Jobber Podcast. Subscribe. Would appreciate a 5-star rating. Leave a review. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Happy holidays, everyone. Hope you have a great time off with friends and family. And we'll be back again next week with another episode of the Celebrity Jobber Podcast. I'm the guy with the stupid last name, Jeff Zito. Thanks again for listening.